Begin the current daf mishnah. This Avon daf kuf dal begins 6 lines down from the top of the yamid. The Gemara continues with the next mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous mishnayos that discussed the discrepancies regarding the halacha in the mikdash and the beis hamikdash, and regarding the halacha in the medina. That is, our mishnah mentions two specific leniencies regarding the halacha in the beis hamikdash. First of all, the mishnah tells us baiskin melach, a person could crush and they could spread out salt, al gabe kevesh, on the ramp which goes up onto the mizbeach. And the reason is because the kevesh is very slippery, and when it rains, it gets even slipperier. So one can go ahead and spread out salt and crush it on the kevesh, on the ramp, so that the people should not slip. The kind of going up and down, they will slip. So therefore, the salt helps provide that traction. Another leniency is, umamalad mibar ha-goylam. One is allowed to fill up from the pit of the exiles, umibar ha-goylam, from the great pit. These were their names, and both of them were in the lishkas hazar. These were in the chambers in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Begalgal b'shabbos, and one can do this with the galgal, which is called a windlass. It's a certain type of a utensil that pulls up the water from the pit. And these are only permitted to be done in these two bayris, which are in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the Medina, not in the provinces. And the Gemara will explain the reason is because of a gzeira, which these gzeiras shvusin apply only in the Medina, not in the Beis HaMikdash, which is that one might come to then go ahead and fill up the water for his garden and for his ruin because of its ease, and therefore there is a gzeira in Medina, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah concludes, umabei hakir b'yamtiv. And similarly, that one is allowed to fill up from the well of Hakir on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. You can explain what exactly this is and why it was only permitted on Yom Tov and only in this Be'er Hakir. So the Gemara says that Rami Le Rav Ika Mi Pashrein Le Rav. He posed the following contradiction to Rav. It says, Tanan, on the one hand, we have an Amish that we learned, Baiskin Melech Agabe Akevesh B'Shvul Shalei Echlik. We learned that one is allowed to go ahead and crush and spread out the salt on the ramp going up to the Mizbeach so that the Kanim should not slip. Yet on the other hand, The inference is that b'mikdash in b'medina lai, that it's only in the Beis HaMikdash that we allow this, but not in the Medina, not in the provinces. Reminu, but we learned chatzer sheniskal kol b'mei gusham, a courtyard, a regular courtyard, someone's chatzer, his yard, they got ruined from the rain that's out there. It's all muddy. Maybe tevin umeradaba, so that someone could bring straw and spread it out over there on the ground. So we see that this heter of spreading around different elements, salt in the Beis HaMikdash and straw here in Medina, is permitted. Yet in our Mishnah, it sounds like one's only allowed to do this to provide traction and not to slip, only in the Mikdash, not in Medina. So on that, the Gemara answers, Shani Tevin Delay Mevatele. That in truth is that the halacha of salt is really only permitted only in the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Medina. This that we allow straw in the Medina is because a person does not nullify. He does not just leave the straw there, and that's why it's permitted in the Medina. And that is, there is no problem. The whole concern of the salt, what is the issue that we're only allowing it in the Mikdash, not in the Medina, is because of what's called a shivuya gumais. That one might come to smooth out the pits that's on the ground, which is a malach on Shabbos, because that's essentially like binyan. You're completing the building, the structure, whatever it is, in this case, the floor. And the case of Tevin, the reason why that's permitted in Medina, and we're not concerned for this, a shvuya gumais, is because something that's fit for the animals to eat or to be used as cement for the walls, a person does not nullify, it doesn't leave it there permanently. And therefore, we're not concerned that it's going to be considered finishing off the floor by filling in the holes because you plan on taking it away, so that's obviously not completing the building. But salt, once the feet step on it, it's not fit for anything anymore, and therefore generally you will be mevatled, you'll leave it there. And that's why in Medina it's usher because of the concern of binyan, of building, but in the Beis HaMikdash we weren't concerned about that. We allowed this leniency, and that is why it was only in Mikdash and not in Medina. And this that it says Tevin, yes, is because Tevin's different, because you're not going to mevatled, there's no concern that you might actually leave it there and then be over on binyan. On that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Acha b'Rida Rav Elo Rav Ashi. There seems to be a different problem. So I understand that it's a gzeira of putting down the melach of binyan, which is only concern in the Medina, but in the Beis HaMikdash we allow it because we're not gezer shvusin, which you might come to do a melacha in the Beis HaMikdash. But however, hai melach hechidami, what's this case of that we allow putting salt on the ramp? Ed mevatle, if it's like we had just assessed that there's a possibility you might come to mevatle it, and therefore that's a concern in the Medina, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. If you ultimately are mevatle it, then the problem is kamais of abinyan. Then you're adding on to the structure of the kevesh of the ram, and that's also even during the weekday, forget about on Shabbos, because one is not allowed to add on to the dimensions of the mizbech. as some Gersois have this in parentheses, like it says in the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Aleph, Hakol Bichsav, everything was written. Miyad Hashem Olah Hiskel, from the hand of Hashem onto me, it was given this inspiration, which David HaMelech was saying that the building of the dimensions was given through the prophets, through the Nevi'im, not to add on or not to diminish in the slightest dimensions. And therefore, if you're going to be mevatel the soul, that's going to be like another layer of the kevesh, and that's forbidden because you're adding on. And ve'ida loikum mevatel, and if you're not going to mevatel it, and you plan on taking the soul away, then ka'avichatzitza, that means that the soul that now, that's between the legs of the kahanim and the ramp, is an interposition, is getting in the way of their feet, and that's a soul, like we learn in Masech Tezvachim and Tezvavim Abeis, that old karbonis, that if a zar was makabel the blood, or an oinin, or oral, or someone that's sitting, or, and this is where we're talking about, if someone's standing on a vessel, or on top of the foot of an animal, or on, even on his friend's leg, it's pasul. And as the Gemara over there learns, but essentially the idea is because chatzitza, you have to have your feet on the ground, on the ritzpah, on the ground, or in this case, on the kevesh. And now the problem is, the salt is going to be a problem either way. If you mevatel it, it's going to be adding onto the dimensions. If you're not, that means it's not a permanent part of the structure, and therefore it's chatzitza between the leg and the kevesh. Another Gemara says, you're right. However, we're talking about b'hilochas evarm lekevesh. When we're saying you're putting the salt down so they shouldn't slip, we're talking about when they're transporting the limbs to the top, on the, into the mizbeach, through the ramp, to lav avoydehi. That's not an intrinsic part of the avoydeh, and therefore, you're right. We're talking about that the salt was not being mevatel. They don't plan on leaving it there, because after the that it's there, that it provides traction, and the feet step on it, they take that salt, and they go ahead to use that to salt the hides of the karbonis. Now, the question was, and then it's going to be chatzitza. On that, the Gemara answers, it's not a question, because this that we say, boyskin melch, that you could scatter it there on the kevesh, was talking about when they're transporting the limbs to the kevesh, which is not an avoda, as the Gemara assumes right now, that since the whole kapara, essentially, of the carbon is really dependent on the blood itself. Now, although sacrificing the different parts and the limbs and the fats is part of the avoda, but its transportation, the halacha, is essentially not such a chashuv a thing, and therefore that's not included in avoda to be puzzle by having your feet not touching the kevesh itself. To which the Gemara asks, v'loy, is it really true that it's not an intrinsic part of the avoda to be considered one of the avodas of halacha, that you there wouldn't be a problem if your feet are not touching the kevesh? V'aksiv, but it says in the pasuk Mayikra, the hikriv ha-koyin esakol, that the koyin will bring near all these things, the hikriv ha-mizbech, and it will sacrifice it on the mizbech, v'amamar, and was taught that what is this a reference to? What does it mean that he'll bring it all close? Zuhoylochas evarm lekevesh. This is a reference to bringing the limbs to the ramp, and that is because the beginning of that pasuk says that v'haker v'akraim, that the innards and the kraim yirchatz b'mehil, he'll wash in water. So obviously we're talking about the limbs, and from the fact that the pasuk requires kahuna, like it says v'hikar v'akayin, obviously that it is considered an avoida, and therefore even hoylochas evarm lekevesh should be a problem if the salt is there and that you're not mevatlet and it's chatzitza. So the Gemara revises this answer. Ella ema b'hilachas eitzim l'maracha. Rather, it's a reference. When did we say that you put down the salt on the ramp that they shouldn't slip, and there won't be a problem of being chatzitza v'lavoida? Is when they're transporting the woods for the pyre, for the fire that's there on top of mizbeach, the lavavoida. That's definitely not part of the avoida. That's just getting the wood up there, which you just have to have a fire. That is when we would allow to provide traction by putting the salt on the kevesh. Darish Rava. So Rava lectured regarding this halacha that we mentioned before, regarding that it was posed as a contradiction, the chatzish in iskalkala b'megisham, regarding a courtyard that got ruined with the rainwater, maybe tevin nimeradaba. So he said you could bring straw and you spread it out over there so that people should be able to walk on it and not slip in the mud. On that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, v'atanya, but we learned the b'raisa, kishumirada, when you do spread out this straw on the ground, eina mirada loy besal, you're not allowed to spread it out, not from a basket, b'loy b'kupa, and not from a box, ella b'shule kupa, rather from the bottom of a box. In other words, you can't do it the first two ways because that's the way it's normally done during the weekday. But you could take the bottom of a box. In other words, if it's broken and all you have left over is the bottom, that's only the type of way it's going to be mutter to do this heter of putting the straw on the ground. Now the problem is, Rava didn't say that. Rava just said you could spread it out, which sounds like in any way, even the way it's usually done during the weekday, from a basket and from a box. Yet here we have clearly a brice that says it could only be done in the way that's not normally done, from the bottom of a box that's broken. So therefore, the Gemara says, Hada okim Rava amoira lavadar. So Rava, he put up another interpreter, and he got up to the lectern and he lectured and he said, "Dvarim shemarti lifneichem toitzin b'yadi." The words I said yesterday were a mistake. I made a mistake. Barm kach amar mishmer b'lezer. This is what, in truth, this is what they said in the name of Reb Eliezer. Ukshumarada, that when you go ahead and you do what I said is permitted to go ahead and spread out the straw, it's only with the condition that ena marada loy besal, that you don't spread out not from a basket, not from a box, ela beshuli kupa, only the way it's not normally done during the weekday from a broken box, that's the only way that to do this marada will be permitted. Now in our Mishnah, one of the hetayim, one of the coolest we said in the base of Migdash was memalim mibar hagoyla, that we can fill up from the pit of hagoyla, from the exhaust. And you can do this on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to bring in the topic that in the continuation will bring up this idea from our Mishnah. So it says, Ula ikla lebei Rav Menashe. So Ula went to the house of Rav Menashe. Asahu gavra tarfa babas. And this individual came and he was banging on the door with his fist and he was making noise on the door. So Amar, so Ula said, Manhai, who is this that's making noise on Shabbos by being on the door? Lischol gufei, his body should be desecrated. The kamocha leil Shabbat, because he's desecrating the Shabbos. Because Ula held, making any sounds, any koil, is forbidden because of the isra of making music on Shabbos, making koilas. So that's what he held. So Amar Rabba said, no. The whole isra of playing musical instruments on Shabbos was only sounds of music, which are sound like a song, which is it's sweet and it's delicate and it's calming. That's what's considered a sound of music. That's forbidden. A bang on the door, that's not a problem. So therefore, this person is not doing anything wrong. So the Gemara asks, Esav Abaya, Malin, a person can draw wine from one barrel to another barrel, bidyufi. Now, dyufi is made through two reeds that are cut on a diagonal. And then you put the two edges slanty, one opposite the other, and you put one of the reeds in a barrel, and the person sucks with his mouth on the other edge of the reed, a little bit of the wine comes to him, and then that drops the wine, and it comes by itself into the other barrel. That's how you can go ahead and siphon to drink from one, and not to drink it, but just to pull it in, and then it goes to the other one, and that's what the word diufe is. Diu means two. And fi is from the word pi, that in other words, it has two mouths. This is the two reeds that are used to draw the wine. So you can do that on Shabbos. Umatipin mi'arik l'chayla b'Shabbos. And you can also have the dripping of this mi'arik for the sick people on Shabbos. Now, what this mi'arik is a certain type of utensil that has a very narrow opening. And it's made out of metal. And on the bottom, it's tons of holes. And it has these small little thin holes. And you fill it with water. When the top opening is closed, then it retains the water inside. So and it doesn't come out of the small holes in the bottom. When he wants, he takes out the little plug that's in the little hole on the top. Then the water comes through the holes on the bottom. It starts dripping, drip after drip. And then he puts a metal vessel underneath to catch those drops. And that is a sound that's soothing for the ill person. That's something that can be done on Shabbos. So now the inference is that this heter of to drip the water out of this miyarik on Shabbos is l'chayla in l'barilai, that it could only be done for a sick person. There are certain dispensations we allow for ill people on Shabbos, but not for a healthy person. Now, heichidemi, what's this case talking about that it's generally forbidden for a regular person? Lav dinim, isn't it talking about that the person is sleeping, in this case that it's permitted for the sick person, and that we want to wake him up? And the reason why we do it like this, through this sound, is because we're afraid to just wake him up because he might get frightened and he's not well. So to waken him up, they have this little drips coming down that will wake him up out of his reverie. Now these drips are not sweet and calming sounds, because if it was sweet calming sounds, then to the contrary, it would make him doze off. And therefore, it must be talking about that it's not calming sounds and it's waking him up with just general banging sounds. And still, we say that for a healthy person, that it's aser. Shema mina eludei kola aser. So obviously, just making any sounds, even not calming musical sounds, like you said, is forbidden because we say for a bari, it is aser. So how do you resolve that? Another thing about it says loy. It's the reverse type of a case. The tear, that is up. But kaboy delaynim, and they want him to be able to fall asleep, but he's too on edge. He's not feeling well. That the dripping of the drops, which many sound machines have, that like just the dripping drip pitter patter of the rain, that sounds like little bells, like little sounds. That's what they're doing it for, and that's to calm him down. That calming, it sounds like music. That's forbidden for a bari, and it only could be permitted for a chayla, as we said, that it's only musical type of sounds that's forbidden on Shabbos. So Esrei, the Gemara continues to ask. We learned how Meshama Pei Reisa Mnei Ha'evis. If someone's watching his produce because of the birds, Vidla'av Mnei Ha'chaya, or his gourds because of the wild animals, so Meshama Kedarik Meshabbos, he could watch it the way he normally does, even on Shabbos. Ubovad Shalo Yisapik, as long as he doesn't clap, that is his one palm to the other. Vlo Yitapik, and he shouldn't bang, that's by banging his hand on his chest. Vlo Yirak, and he shouldn't dance, that is with his foot, to bang his foot, to make like a sound to scare off the birds. Kederech Shein Oysim Mechel, like the way people usually do during the weekday, to scare off the animals, that's something you can't do on Shabbos. Now, my time, what's the reason? We said you could watch it, so why can't you make this noise? Lav dekamei lekalei isn't because you're just making sounds. V'chol elu dekalei asin, that making any sounds is forbidden, because here you're not making musical sounds, you're just making sounds. So you see that making any sound is asr, like ula hel. Amrav Acha bar Yaakov, no. Gezeira shemitel tzro. This is a whole different halacha. It's a gezeira. It's a decree that you might take a rock and throw it into Rosh Hashanah to scare off the birds. Essentially, you're going to be over on the issa deraisa b'itza. That's why we don't let you start doing these things to scare them off, because then you might come to do something that has issa deraisa, but nothing about intrinsic of the sound itself. Then the Gemara asks, continues asking, Velahodam Rabbi Huda Marav, Noshim Hamasakris Be'agoyzim Asu. We said that women, that they play with these nuts, it's forbidden to do this on Shabbos. That what they used to do is they used to roll these nuts on a long board, and one would hit the other. The way women play, there are many different games that you take one and it hits the other. So they're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. So my time, well, what's the reason? Lav de Kamel Kal isn't because it makes sounds. When one hits the other, makes a knock. And making any sounds is also. That's why they can't play this game on Shabbos. So again, you see, it's not just musical sounds. Megillah says, Loy. Again, this is a different halacha totally. Dilma asti la shvuyi gumis. The problem is, you might come to smooth out the pits in the ground because you want to make a smooth ground so that you can roll the nut. If it's going to have holes, it's not going to be good. That's why you can't play the game, because you might come to smooth out the ground, which is going to be an isser deraisa of binyan, or depending where it is, you're going to be over an isser about smoothing out the ground. And the Gemara says that it has to be like this. Because if you don't say that this is the reason why it's also when they play these games, but this that Rabbi Huda says, the noshim misachkes b'tapuchim aser, that the women that play not with nuts but with apples, that's forbidden. In other words, the same type of game. What type of sounds? Apples that hit each other don't make sounds. They just get brown and they get smashed in. Obviously, you have to say the reason over there is not because of the sounds, but it's because of the concern you might come to smooth out the pits in the ground and then be over on either chayrish or boina, and that's why it's awesome, but not because of the sounds. So again, the Gemara continues to ask, and this is where our Mishnah comes in. So now we learn in our Mishnah. Mimalin mi bar hagoylo. One is allowed to fill up from the bar hagoylo, u mi bar hagodl, and from the bar hagodl, begalgal b'shabas, with this windlass, with this type of a pitcher, on with the type of this utensil that's used to pull up the water on Shabbos. Now, the inference is, as that's what the one of the purposes of our Mishnah was, to tell us the leniencies on the Beis HaMikdash in contrast to the Medina, that is, B'Mikdashin. These two pits, where were they? They were in the Beis HaMikdash. There you're allowed to go ahead and draw the water with a galgal. B'Medina loy, but in the provinces, not. Now, my time, why is it only permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, not in Medina? Lav Mishum Doylo, the call it, isn't it because that when you're drawing up the water, the galgal bangs on the side of the pits when you're bringing it up, v'aser, and that's forbidden. That's exer derabbanan, which again is not us in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's us in the Medina. So you see, even though it's not a musical sound, it's forbidden. So the Gemara says, loy. Again, here it's a whole different halacha. Gizera shemiyamal leginasi v'lechurvasim. It's a decree that you might come to fill up water to then go pour it on your garden and in your ruin. And that is because since it's very easy to draw water with this galgal, it's so easy, then you might come to use it and say, hey, I want to water my garden and my churban Shabbos, which obviously is an issa deraisa, and therefore we do not allow you to go ahead and even draw water with that, even for not that purpose, because it might be so convenient, you might end up doing that, which again is a problem only in the Medina, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. So now related to this, the Gemara brings a story that a meimer shari lemimla begilgali b'mechuza. Although it seems clearly in our Mishnah that the halach of galgal is only mutter in the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Medina, but Amima permitted them to fill up with the galgal in Mechuzah. So Amahi explained himself. He said, my time ago, Rabban, why Rabban say it's exer that it's aser to do this in the Medina? Shemi yamal leginas v'chavasa. We said it's so easy, you might come to fill it up to that and then pour water into your garden, into your ruin. But he says, hacha legine ekav lechurvik. The exer doesn't apply because no one here has gardens. It's this metropolitan area which is no one has a garden. No one has any ruins. And therefore, it's permitted to do this because the Gzer doesn't apply. However, the Gemara says that Kivan the Chazer, the Ka, and we're continuing to Amid Beis, since he saw that they were Taruba, that they started soaking Kisna, flax inside of it, which is something that is forbidden on Shabbos. So also then they said that it is forbidden to you this again, because since it was so convenient to get the water, they were utilizing for things that were forbidden to do on Shabbos. So although that original Gezerah, in a sense, didn't apply, because they're not filling up to the Gina and the Churva, but since they were doing other Isurim, so he said that it's forbidden to do this as the original Gezerah was. Now we said in our Mishnah, Umibeir Hakir, that from the wellspring of Hakir, that's permitted on Yom Tiv, but not on Shabbos. What is this, and what is the Hetam? So the Gemara says, my Be'er Hakir. What is this Be'er Hakir? So Amr Shmuel Shmuel says, it's Boir Shehikru Lehav Dvarim Behitiruha. It's a pit that they exclaimed, they were makri, they said certain things about it, they said certain statements, and they permitted it. And that is when they came up Min HaGoyla, they came up from exile, they needed this Be'er, as the Gemara will explain. And they went and they counted heads and they permitted it, and they were mevatel the original takana, which is the issa d'rabbanan, to fill up from anything that's not in the Beis HaMikdash with a galgal. And they, but however, they only permitted just this be'er hakir. And again, as Rashi explains, this hakir is from the lashon of kriya, of exclaiming things that they brought. They communicated certain proofs that they were able to uproot the Issur Drabbanan that was originally on this to utilize a galgal out of the Mikdash because of their doichik, because of the necessity that they had to do that. So that's the case of the Be'er Hakir. So Gemara asks, Meisve, this is a hard explanation to say that this is Be'er Hakir, because we learned Loi Kala Boiris Hakiris Hatiru. They didn't permit all the Boiris Hakirus, Elazubavat, only this one. Now, if you say the reason why it's called Be'er Hakir is because they said certain things about this one that they needed, my Zubava, what does it mean that only this one they permitted? In other words, how can you call all the other Be'er Hakir? He said from all the Be'er Hakiris, but there's only one that they were Hakir about, that they said things about. And from the fact that we say that it's called Be'er Hakir, obviously this is the only one that we permitted. So how can we say that it's called Be'er Hakir because we said things, but there's many Be'er Hakiris? So therefore the Gemara says, Ella, the Gemara says a different pshat. What it is, and why it's only permitted over on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Be'er Mayim Chayim. It's a reference to a wellspring of water. Shanem, like it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Kohekir Vayir Meimeha V'Goymer. Like the flow of the wellspring is its water, etc. And that is, why did they call it the Mayim Chaim? Because it's living water, they called it Be'er Hakir, because it's from the root of Makar, of the source. And that is just like a wellspring is a source of flowing water that continuously comes and it's always new. So too, as the end of that pasuk ended off, that Cain hekeru ra'asa, so too her evil constantly is flowing. That's from the word Havakir. That's what's called Be'er Hakir, because it was live water. So as the Gemara concludes and says, Gufa, we learned that, as we said the statement before, Loi kol ha-boris hakiris hatir. They didn't permit all the boris hakiris, which again is not a problem because it's not like we said hakir, like what they were makri about that they said things about. Rather, it's a reference to a wellspring, which is called hakir because it's a makar. We didn't allow all the wellsprings, ila zubulvat, only this one. And why is that? Uksha'olu b'nei ha-goyla, because when the people came up from Gaulis, from exile, chanu leho, they rested by their well. And the prophets among them permitted it for them because they needed it. So although it was forbidden because of the shvus of doing it with a galgal, but they permitted it. And the clarification is, but v'loy nevim shebeneim, it wasn't the real prophets that were among them. In other words, it wasn't Chagi Zechariah Malachi. It was the custom of their fathers that was in their hands, that since there was that incident when they were coming up, that they permitted to use it on the Yom Tov, to use this pit, this wellspring, when they were coming up. So therefore, every time when they were oil regal, when they needed it, which was on Yom Tov, they continued that heter. But again, that was only at that distinct heter that there was, which was on the Yom Tov, and not for Shabbos. And that's why it's only this Be'er Hakir, again, just because of the minig that they had, but not because of the heter, because really the Issur Shvus applies to anything outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara continues again with the next Mishnah, the last Mishnah, Masech Deseirvin, again talking about the specific halacha that applies just in the Beis HaMikdash. Sheretz shenimtze b'mikdash. Regarding a sheretz which is one of the small like rodents, crawling things, that's what's called sharatz, that's found in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's a certain tumah that comes to one of the eight shratzim when it has a certain tumah when it dies. So if it's found in the Beis HaMikdash, so there's tumah, and you're not supposed to have tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, so kayin maitziya behem yonai. So the kayin removes it from the Beis HaMikdash with his belt on Shabbos, and we're not concerned about the fact that you're not allowed to move it because it's muktzah, because muktzah is only a drabanan, and we do not apply the Yisuri Shavuos in the Beis HaMikdash, as we mentioned many times in the previous Mishnahs. Now, this belt is obviously one of the begadim of the kohen. It's the avnate. It's the belt of the kohen. Now, although the avnate, which is kaddish, is going to become tame when he's touching it with the sharetz, but that's better. Why is it better? Shalei lishes is a tuma that we shouldn't have the maintenance continue of tuma in the Beis HaMikdash, and that is there is another option which the other mandam in the Mishnah argues, which is that you can keep the tuma there in the azar in the courtyard, and then go ahead and find the tongs made out of wood, which is pshuti kliyetz, that it doesn't have a receptacle, which is not makabel tuma. He holds no. It's better to go ahead and create a little bit more tuma, but not have the tuma stay longer in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, he couldn't go ahead and do it with his hands, because we don't want the kohen himself to become tame. So therefore, he grabs it with his belt, so he's not touching it. And although he's carrying it, a sheretz is not matame b'masa by virtue of carrying it. Now, this avnate that becomes tame from the sheretz does not then go ahead and be matame the kohen that's holding the belt, because the avnate itself is only a rishon l'tuma, because the sheretz is an av, and then when it transfers it to the next thing, which is the belt, that becomes a rishon. And as Rashi says, it's a halacha that's known throughout the entire Shas, that a person and kelim and vessels are not makabel tuma only from an avatuma itself. And as Rashi says from the psukim, we do not find tuma being transferred to kelim and adam only from a sheretz or an avela or similar things which are avatumas, but a rishon l'tuma, although it cannot be matama adam mekelim, a person and vessels, but it could be metame oichel mashkim, food items and drink items. Like the pasuk in Vayikra Yalav says v'chol kli cheres, and any earthenware vessel ashiyibul mehem that will fall into them a sheretz, which then makes the sheretz which are av makes the kli cheres into a rishon l'tuma, and that's because since the sheretz is hanging in the ear space of a kli cheres, although it doesn't touch, that's the halacha by kli cheres that the kli then becomes a rishon l'tuma, and then the kli then goes ahead and it's metame what's inside of it, and then you would think that even if there are vessels inside of the kli cheres, that they will also become tame because of the kli that's a rishon. And that's what the pasuk says. Kol asher b'toicha yitma. Whatever is inside the kli cheres will become tame. But near that, the pasuk says, b'chol oichel asher ya'ochel, that any food item that he will eat, that it's only food items and drink items that are makabel tuma from the kli. But another kli does not become tame from the kli. And this is all said in the sugya within Hakol Sheikhin, which again says this idea that the kli does not become tame from a kli, which is a rishon, rather only from an avatam. And therefore, divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Berakhia, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Berakhia is regarding the sheretz. What you want to do is do the least amount of tame possible. You don't want the kohen to become tame, and therefore he can't touch it. So therefore, what you do is you go ahead and takes it with his belt, which then becomes a rishon l'tuma, and it doesn't transfer it over to him, and especially since there's no tuma of masa by holding the sheretz, and that's better than having the tuma continue to stay there longer by having to search to find something that will not be makabel tuma. However, Behuda Mehuda says, no, he says, b'tzva shel eitz, with tongs of wood, which is considered what a pshut kli eitz, which is it's something that's flat, that has no receptacle, and if it's made out of wood, which is not makabel tuma, sheloi l'rabbis is tuma, we'd rather go ahead and search throughout the area to find that we do not increase the tuma, because the way you're saying it, Rabbi Yochanan ben Berakhia, is that the avnate, the belt, will become tame. It's rather to leave it there a little bit longer and to search this tongs than to increase tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Mishnah inquires, Mehechin Meitzin Naisi, from where, which area are we so concerned about that this tuma in the Beis HaMikdash that we say that we permit the Isra, the Rabbanan of Muktzah, the Shavuos, to take it out on Shabbos? On that we have a Machlokes. The first opinion says min ha-heichel, if it's in the temple itself, umin ha-ulam, from the antechamber which goes into there, umin bein ha-ulam le-mezeich, and even from between the ear of the mizbeach and of the antechamber. But if it's somewhere further out, let's say in the azar, in the courtyard, if there it's found, then you just cover it with a copper pot and you leave it there till it gets matzah Shabbos, and then you go ahead and you move it. Dibri b'shemananis, that's the opinion of b'shemananis. Kiva Aymer, he says no. He says, Kol makom shechayav in azdei nekaras v'ashegagas seichatis. Any area where you'd be chayav, if you did on purpose, you'd be chayav karas. If you did it by mistake, you'd be chayav a carbon chatas. If you would enter with tumah, which is the entire Azara, then Misham Mitzin, I say, then from there you do take it out, and he argues and extends it even to the entire Azara, that you would take it out even on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says, Vishar Kamakamis, and all the other areas, in other words, for everyone according to his opinion, for Benanis, meaning the rest of the Azara, which is something that you do not take it out on Shabbos, and according to Bekiva, that would be in reference to the Lishkas, to the chambers that are beyond the Azara. Kaifin love Pesachta. So since that area is not an area that we allow you to be over on Mukta because of the Tumah that's there, so what you do is you cover it with a pot made out of copper to cover it until it gets dark, till it becomes Matzah Shabbos. Reb Shimon says, and the Gemara will explain what exactly is he referring to, because it sounds like he's talking about something totally different than what we're talking about. He says, Makam shehetiru l'cha chacham, the place where the chacham permitted for you, mishalcha nasnu l'cha. It's really from yours that they gave you. And the Gemara will explain exactly what is he talking about. Shleitir l'cha ele mishum shavuz, because they really only permitted it for you because essentially it's only esdrabonon, so therefore they're really giving you what's really yours. And again, the Gemara will explain what this is in reference to. Now the Gemara first goes and explains this whole halacha that we're talking about. Again, we're talking about the Tumah of Sheretz, which is forbidden to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we talk about what can you use to take it out and from which area. So now the Gemara introduces the actual halacha. So I'm Rav Tavi Bar Kis Namar Shmuel. Hamachnis Tamei Sheretz LeMikdash. If someone brings in a Tamei Sheretz, that means a vessel that became Tamei from a Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, then chayiv is chayiv achatas if he did it by b'shagig, because it says in the pasuk b'midrash yotas ki es mikdash Hashem timi, because he has defiled the mikdash of Hashem. So you see that there's an issa of bringing in something that became tamei into the base of mikdash. However, sheretz asma Shmuel says, but a sheretz itself pater, he's actually exempt. So the Gemara says, my tamei, what's the reason for this? This seems to be counterintuitive. I mean, the sheretz, which is the source of the tumah, that you're going to be pater from the chatas. But if you bring in something that became coming from the sheretz, then you're chayv. Why is that? So Amakar, the Gemara says, it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, Mizachar va'anikeva tishalechu. Whether it be a male or a female, you should send out. And this is the pasuk which is talking about in the Beis HaMikdash. Like it says at the end of that, it says that they should not make tamei their camps, ashani sheikh mesechim, which I dwell in there, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore we compare this iser of having someone that's tamei in the Beis HaMikdash, and that you have to send it out, we compare that to, as it says in the pasuk, the zachar and the keva, which is misha yesh leitahar b'mikvah, somebody that has an ability to become pure through immersing in the mikvah, which is a reference to a person, which is a zachar and the keva, they can purify themselves by immersing in the mikvah. Those are the ones that have the isra of being in the mikdash, and that you have to send them out. Yatzah sheretz shein leitahara. And that's what Shmuel says, that excludes a sheretz which has no tahara, and therefore, there's no iser, because it's only something that could be purified in the mikvah. You can't be matar or sheretz in the mikvah, whereas something that became a kli, that became tamei from a sheretz, you could immerse in the mikvah, therefore that's where the iser applies, but not the sheretz itself. And that the Gemara says, Le'misayele, let's say we could bring a raya from a braisa that supports Shmuel. It says in the braisa, quoting that same pasuk, Mizachar anekevet hashalecha, whether it be a male or a female, you have to send them out if they're tamei from the Beis HaMikdash. Prat likli charis, that excludes a copper, an earthenware vessel, that if it became tamei and it was brought into the Beis HaMikdash, one would be pater from a chatas. Divi basically, that's the opinion basically. So the Gemara says, my time, and now what would be the reason that we would exclude an earthenware vessel? Lav mishum, the lesli tar b'mikvah. Isn't it, as Shmuel said, because a kli charis does not have tara, but it cannot become pure by immersing in the mikvah, as the pasuk of Yikri Yadav says. It says, regarding a kli charis that becomes tamei, v'oisei sishbar, and that you have to break, that it doesn't have tahara through immersing, only if it's broken. And therefore that seems to prove the same point of Shmuel, that only something that can become tar in the mikvah, that is where the isser is, but that excludes a kli charis, and excludes the sheretz itself. And that thing much says loy. No, the truth is, I would tell you that if someone brings a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, he would be chayiv, not like Shmuel. And the reason why a kli charis is pater, that's for a different reason. That's a different comparison to what the pasuk is saying from Zachar and the Keva. Mi shenasa, in other words, a person, only someone like a person that could become an avatuma, that is something that if you bring it in, for that you're chayiv. And that is what Rabbi Yosi Aglili was saying, Yotze Kli Cheres She'ena Nasa Avatoma. The reason why Kli Cheres is being excluded is not because it doesn't have Tar Mikvah, but rather because a Kli Cheres cannot become an Avatoma. As Rashi goes through this to show these two, there's two ways essentially how it could become Avatoma, and Kli Cheres does not have either one of them. And that is, it's not fit for what's called Tumas Medris, and thereby becoming an Avatoma, because again, it has to be similar to Zach and Akeva. And that's what the criteria that the Pasuk is comparing it to regarding this Issur. And that is a male or a female can sometimes become an Avatumah. For example, if it's a Zav or a Zava, or if they're both either one a Tamei Meis. Same thing applies to vessels, to Kalim. That since they have the ability to become an Avatumah, and thereby being just same as Zach and Akeva, for example, a vessel that's fit for what's called Medrash, or for sitting on, for the Zav to sit on them, then that kli itself becomes an avatumah by having the zav sit on that vessel. And then that vessel would actually be metame adam mekalim, like the pasuk in Vayikra Tesvav says, v'hayyishiv ala kli. If someone sits on the vessel, asher yishiv alav hazav that a zav had sat on, yitma he becomes tame. So although generally we say that kli is not, but this way the kli becomes an avatumah, and then the kli, since avatumah, will be metame and adam. And therefore, if someone brings these vessels into the Beis HaMikdash, even when they're not an Avatumah, even when they're a Rishon LaTumah, for example, if it became Tumah from a Maga Hazav, that the Zav just touched the vessel, or if it touched something that was a Medrash of the Zav, or of any, if it touched any other Avatumah, thereby becoming a Rishon LaTumah, then it will be Chayiv if you bring in that Tumah to the Beis HaMikdash. Because it's similar to Zach LaKeva, that it could be an Av, and, or could be a Rishon. But that excludes a Kli Charis, which a Kli Charis cannot become an Avatumah. Because a kli can only become an avatumah to then be metame adam or kli, only in two ways. Either if it becomes what's a medrash zav, that the zav sits on it and it's designated for sitting, or if it touches a mess, because a mess is what's called the avi avos tumah. It's like a grandfather of tumah, like it says in Parashas Zeis Chukas, that it says bekli oy ba'adam, regarding a vessel or a person that touched a dead person, it says, v'chola sheyiga b'hatomei yitma, that whoever touches that which is tamei will become tamei. And it says, v'hanefesh ha'negeres titmad arv, that the soul that touches this will become tamei till the evening. And now this obviously is talking about that somebody that touches the somebody that's tamei now because he touched the mess itself. In other words, someone that touches a tamei mace, he'll be tamei till the evening. Because Rashi says, you can't say that when it says in the Pasuk, v'hanefesh ha'negeres, that somebody that touches, that he's touching the mess itself, because then the tummy wouldn't be a tummy of air for the evening, then he would be tummy shiva, as it says elsewhere, you become tummy for 7 days. So obviously, a tummy mess, someone that, a person that touched the dead person, he himself becomes an avatumma, and therefore, he can now go ahead and transfer tumma to even another person, because the av could be a tummy adam. And therefore, a kli charis cannot become an avatum at all. And this is where Rashi says both ideas. He says, A, it's not fit to become a tamei medrash because the kli charis will break if the zav sits in it. As we learned in the Braisa explicitly, in Masechta Shabbos, the Bedalam and Av, that says medrash kli charis tar. The medrash of a kli charis, if a zav sits in it, is tar. It's not become tamei because it's going to break. So it's not fit for medrash. Just like anything that's not fit for medrash, if they usually use it for a different function and now they're sitting and say, hey, let's turn it upside the right side up to use it, it doesn't become tamei. And then regarding the other way, which was that if something touches, if a kli or a person touches the mess, that then it becomes an avatum, and that also is not possible. Because over there the psukim say, it says, v'chitoy b'yoyim ha'shlishi, etc. And then, v'chola sh'yigu b'yotum, that whatever touches that, that touched the mess, that will become tummy. Now, wherever we apply v'chitoy, what does v'chitoy mean? That it has tahara, that you'll purify this person or thing that touched the mess. Then we say, v'hanefesh negas titma, that whatever touches that, that again, that person or that kli, then that will become tame. Now, we don't say v'chitay, then we don't say v'hanefesh negas. And since there's no purification of a kli charis, therefore it's not included in that category of somebody that touches the mess to become an avatam, and to then to go ahead and convey the tama to a person and to a kli. And therefore, there is no right to shmul from here, because the idea of kli charis as being excluded is not because of like what Shmuel had said, because there's no tar in a mikvah. Rather, it's because it cannot become an avatama. And it has to be, like a zachar, and the cave has to be like a male-female that could become an avatama. And all the other kalim could be, either because of tumas medrash, or because it touches a mess, avi avaisatama, thereby becoming an avatama. But a kli charis cannot be sat on, it's going to break, and it also does not have the loch of touching a mess, because it has to have a chitta that could become tar in the mikvah, and a kli charis does not have tar in the mikvah, so there's no raya from this to Shmuel. So then the Gemara suggests, let's say that the halach of Shmuel is totally in the machlegis tanoim. We learned as follows, sheretz shenimtza b'mikdash, regarding a sheretz that was found in the Beis HaMikdash. So we said, in our Mishnah, kohen meitzi b'hem yonah, we say that the kohen takes it out with his belt, And the reason is Shalala Hashas is a Tumma, not to have the Tumma stay longer. That's the first opinion. He said, you take it out with tongs of wood. Shalala Rabba says Tumma, not to increase the Tumma. So we have this machlekes. So the Gemara says, my love, Behokim Ifli. It doesn't make sense that they're arguing about exactly this halach of Shmuel. The man that says, we don't want to leave it. We want to get it out. So even though we're going to be increasing the Tumma a little bit by having the belt become tummy, that's better. What does he hold? Obviously, he holds hamachne sheretz lemikdash chayev. That if someone introduces a sheretz into the base of mikdash, the sheretz, that he is going to be chayev. And that's why, since there's an issur d'oraisa of having the sheretz inside, so that's why it needs to be sent out min ha'tayra. That's why we don't say that the increasing of the tumma of the avnit should be a problem, and that it should defer this getting rid of it. It's not true. This is an issur d'oraisa of having this here, because of, not like Shmuel, that he holds the sheretz is usher to bring in. And that's why he holds that get it out. Even though you're increasing the tumma of the avnit, that doesn't make a difference because we have the issur of having the sheretz inside the base of Midrash, min ha-Torah. However, umanda amas shaloi l'rabbis, Rabbi Yehuda, who held not to increase the tumma, and he says, no, let's leave it over here where it is. It's here anyway. Let's not increase tumma. Let's go find tongs that don't have a clay kibble that are wood and it won't become a tumma. So obviously he holds Hamach Nesheretz LeMikdash Pata. Obviously, he holds like Shmuel that if you introduce the Sheretz in the Mikdash, you're still exempt. And therefore, there is no biblical commandment to get it out. So therefore, it's the same as the Avnet on some level. So therefore, let's not increase Tumma. Let's go find some way to get it out without increasing Tumma. But if you hold that like Rabbi Yechon Bereka, that's obviously not like Shmuel, and you hold it as Derei, so you want to get it out as quick as possible, even though it's going to be increasing Tumma. Another thing versus Loi. The Kulei Amachayev, in truth, everyone holds not like Shmuel. That one is chayiv for even introducing the sheretz into the base of Mikdash. B'hacha b'hakim evgim. What they're arguing about is just this idea, as the Mashmolis in the Mishnah is, that Marsa Rabbi Yehuda held shehu yitumah adif. It's better to have the tumah stay longer than increasing tumah, because the avnit is also something that's holy, and the way you're trying to get it out quickly is by having the avnit become that's not better. Better keep it longer because it's here anyways than increasing the actual tumah. That it's better to increase the tumma a little bit than having the tumma stay there much, much longer than it's going to take to find it. So therefore, really, they both hold that there is an issa deraisa to bring it in, and therefore a chiv deraisa to get rid of it. The only difference is regarding which option is better. We're going to get it out because the chiv deraisa, but do you want to increase the tumma, or do you want to go ahead and hold on to it, then not to increase it, but nothing to do with the halacha of Shmuel. So rather, the Gemara says, rather, let's say that Shmuel's halacha is dependent on the following machlokes tanoim. It's not like we learned in our Mishnah, in the seif of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Mehechem etzina yisabechulu." What is the area that it's so necessary to get it out that we're going to bypass the malacha derabanan of mukta to go ahead and get it out on Shabbos? On that, we had a machlokes. So the Gemara says, "My lab b'hakem efgi." It doesn't make sense to say that what they were arguing about was Shmuel's halacha. The one that said that we do not take it out from the courtyard on Shabbos, that was Reb Shimon ben Anna's ksava, he obviously held. Someone introduces the sheretz into the base of Mikdash, he's exempt. And that is, there is no chiv deraisa to get it out. Therefore, we're not going to be deichis Shabbos, although it's in the Azar, it's in the Mikdash, we're not going to be deichis Shabbos, even though it's a issa derabanan, to get it out, because there is no chiv deraisa that will counter that to say we need it out. Whereas, although by the heichal and the ulam, that we said you do take it out, that's because of the covet, the honor of the Shechina, then the Rabbanan did not keep their Gzeirat Rabbanan of Mukta and allowed them to move it out. But anywhere where it's not for the covet of Shechina, although it's in the base of Mikdash, it's not a problem because there is no Chiv Deraisa to get it out. And whereas Rabbi Kiva that said that not only do you take it out from the Ulam and the Ulam and the Mizbeach, but even from the whole Azara, Ksavrachi Yachayiv, he obviously held that there is, not like Shmuel, he obviously held that there is a Chiv Deraisa when one to bring it in, and therefore chiv deraisa to take it out, even for the sheretz itself. And that's why he held that even wherever in the base of Mikdash it is, in the Azara, there is a chiv to take it out, and therefore it would seem that Shmuel's halacha is dependent on this machlokes that we find, although in the coming daf, we'll find out that not necessarily so, there could be they both disagree with Shmuel, and really they're arguing about something totally different.